It's from Psalm 46, which can be found on page 566 in the Church Bibles. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen.
Will you please sit down? Let's pray as we come to God's word together. Heavenly Father, we pray that in your word we might find your truth and we might find your rest. Amen. Do please turn to Psalm 46, page 566. And it'll help as we look at this together. There's an old saying which is attributed to Senator Joe Kennedy, although I think it may go back a little further than that. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. For most of us, when the going gets tough, all we can do is to hang on. And this psalm gives us something solid, or rather someone solid, someone secure to hang on to. Hang on to God, says the psalmist. Hang on to God, who not only stays with us, who not only is the rock on which we can hold, but who is actively involved in helping and supporting us and seeing us through all the trouble we go through. Again and again in the Psalms, the writers are absolutely certain that whatever we go through, God is there with us. Even if it doesn't feel like he's there. Even if we don't feel his presence, he is there. And he does act in his world, even if we can't see the results immediately. Unlike the idols worshipped by other nations, and the idols that Israel turned to from time to time, God is real, he is active, he's working, and he does help his people. Time and again through the Old Testament, we see God's complaint against his people, that they turn from worshipping him and they worship idols, things that they've made, things of no power. So we read in Jeremiah chapter 2, the priests and the prophets who say to a tree, "You are my father," to a stone, "You gave me birth." "For they have turned their back to me and not their face. But in their time of trouble they say, 'Arise and save us.' But where are your gods that you made for yourself? Let them arise if they can save you in your time of trouble." The people make gods of wood and of stone, and then in the time of trouble God says, you've been worshipping them, let them help you. Again, in Jeremiah chapter 10, the customs of the people are vanity. A tree from the forest is cut down and worked by axe with the hands of a craftsman. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with hammer and nails so that it cannot move. Their idols are like scarecrows in a cucumber field. They cannot speak. They have to be carried. Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither is it in them to do good. The idols that people make with their hands are worthless, empty, and absolutely useless. The only God who can help is the God of Israel. And so Jeremiah's challenge to Israel is the same challenge that we have today. What do you put your trust in? Something that you've made? Something that you've bought? Something that you've earned? Something you think you've deserved? Whatever it is, as Jeremiah says, it has no power for good or for evil. And certainly, it can't help you, heal you, or restore you when you're in trouble. Because as Psalm 46 tells us, only God can really be there for us all the time and in every circumstance of our lives. So after that little introduction, let's look at the psalm in three sections. It falls quite neatly into that, separated by the little chorus. There you see Selah. It seems to be a sign of a chorus in a psalm. For the three sections, verses 1 to 3, the presence of God who saves his people. Verses 4 to 7, the power of God who saves his church. And verses 8 to 11, the peace of God who saves his world. And underlying everything, as we see at the end, the purpose of God. So firstly, the presence of God who saves his people. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. These are very personal verses, aren't they? We will not fear. Whatever happens around us, floods, earthquakes, tidal waves, the worst imaginable disasters, we will not fear, says the psalmist. Because God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is our very present help. God is present. He is with us. He doesn't leave us. And we can depend on him, whatever we're going through, provided that we trust him. If we trust in our friends, they may let us down. If we trust in our money or our job, we may lose them. If we trust in our health, it may fail us. But if we trust in God, he doesn't let us down. We can't lose him. He won't fail us. And even if we can't always see him at work, or we can't feel his presence, he is there. Time and again in the Psalms, the psalmists can't always see God at work, but they know with an absolute certainty that he's there. Psalm 102 is a good example of this. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call. And he goes on that his days are passing away. He's feeling that he's fading away. His enemies are around him. But yet, oh yes, and because, verses 10 and 11, because of your indignation and anger, you've taken me up and thrown me down. My days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass. And then comes his absolute certainty. But you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. You are remembered throughout all generations. You will arise and have pity on Zion. It is the time to favour her. He's fading away. He's feeling under incredible pressure. But there behind it all is his absolute certainty that God is there and will rescue him. And so Jesus says to his disciples as he's teaching them in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." Those who hear God's word, obey him and trust him, know that he is there as their refuge and strength. The Lord Almighty is with us, whatever the world throws at us. And I know that can be really hard. If we're going through illness, unemployment, bereavement, for our brothers and sisters around the world going through persecution, loss of job, status or family, imprisonment, physical abuse, and even death. Whatever we go through, God is our refuge and strength. Whatever happens, we can trust him because we have the absolute certainty that he is with us. The presence of God who saves his people. Secondly, the power of God who saves his church. Verses 4 to 7. Does this sound familiar? Verse 6. "The nations rage, the kingdoms totter." We hear it on the news every day, don't we? Whether it's South Sudan, the Central African Republic, Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq. Nations rage, kingdoms totter. The church is persecuted. Christians flee. But God is in the middle of it all. He won't let his church fail. He strengthens his people in the midst of their suffering. And we're reminded through verses 4 and 5 of the city of God where God dwells, the holy habitation of the Most High. Isn't that a lovely picture? Going on to Revelation chapters 21 and 22 is a picture of the church as she will be. The city of God, where the river flows out from the throne of God, bringing life to the whole city. One day, the church will be like that. Today, we have to trust that God is in the middle of his church and she won't fail. He is a rock that doesn't move. When he speaks, the earth melts, verse 6. We know he's in control of world events. And his power will save his church, will hold it secure and preserve it for eternity. And we, his people, are that church. So in that vision, he's right here in the middle of us. The old hymn puts it like this: "In vain the surge's angry shock, in vain the drifting sands, unharmed upon the eternal rock, the eternal city stands. Whatever happens in the world, God's church will not fail because it's founded on the rock that cannot fall, and God is in the midst of her. And thirdly, the peace of God who saves his world. Verse 8 tells us how God works in history. Come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. The Old Testament shows us that. And we have to trust that he still works through and in history, bringing desolation in verse 8, and one day bringing peace, verse 9, bringing an end to war, when all weapons will be destroyed and all creation will enjoy his peace. A great hope to look forward to, but for now, we live in a world where the world is in rebellion, although God remains sovereign. Today, wars rage, people suffer, lives are lost. The world agonizes, and it's very difficult to follow the command of verse 10, to be still and know that I am God. We live in a world in turmoil, a world in which our lives are under increasing pressure, a world that, although God is in control, sometimes it's hard to see. So to take that command, to stand back, to be still, can be very, very difficult. To find a quiet place in the busyness of our lives, a space amid the pressures from us from all sides, a precious moment among the difficulties we face. Be still. Be still. Focus on that certainty that Jehovah is God, that he is in control of everything that goes on in the world and in our lives, that he is our fortress, our refuge, and our strength. Know that he is Lord of our lives, Lord of his church, and Lord of his world. Be still, and know that he is God, so that his purposes can be fulfilled, and he will be exalted in all the earth, because that's the purpose that he calls us to praise and worship and bring him glory as he saves his people, his church, and his world. He will be exalted. Before we finish, you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, page 1222. 1 Peter chapter 4. Just a few verses from the second half of this chapter, which bring into Christian focus some of the thoughts from Psalm 46. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Peter says exactly what the psalmist says. Suffering will come. Stuff happens. We live in a fallen world. And Christians particularly may be expected to suffer because of their faith. But then verse 13. As we suffer, we share Christ's suffering. Rejoice, insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. As we suffer, we share Christ's suffering. As we take our refuge in God, we take our refuge in Christ. And as we suffer with Christ, not only do we glorify him, but also we experience the Holy Spirit resting on us, strengthening us and encouraging us. God, with his Spirit, in us, with us, our refuge and strength. When the going gets tough, the tough don't get going. They turn to Jesus. Listen to what John Stott says about this. I could never myself believe in God if it were not for the cross. In the real world of pain, how could one worship a God who was immune to it? I turn to that lonely, twisted, tortured figure on the cross. Nails through hands and feet, back lacerated, limbs wrenched, brow bleeding from thorn pricks, mouth dry and intolerably thirsty, plunged in God-forsaken darkness. That is the God for me. He set aside his immunity to pain. He entered our world of flesh and blood, tears and death. That's the God for us too. Because pain is real, suffering is real. We live in a world that suffers and we're not immune from it. But the cross is also real. Jesus has been there before us and stands with us to support, to strengthen us and encourage us. We don't have to pretend we're tough when the going gets tough. We don't have to get going. We turn to God, our refuge and strength. We can lay hold of Christ who suffers with us. And we can experience the power of the Holy Spirit resting on us as our strength. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the encouragement of your word, for the knowledge that you are with us, whatever befalls us, that whatever we're going through, Christ has been through it before, and that he will stand with us, upholding us and strengthening us, giving us his Spirit to be our refuge and our strength. I pray for all who need that power tonight, that they may know your presence, your power, your healing and your love, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.